Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Bank of India Q3 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. We have with us Shri A.K. Das, MD and CEO, Shri P.R. Rajagopal, Executive Director, Shri Swaroop Dasgupta, Executive Director, Shri M. Karthikeyan, Executive Director, Shri Subrat Kumar, Executive Director, and other top management team from the Bank of India. I now hand over the conference to Shri A.K. Das, MD and CEO. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good evening to all analyst friends, ladies and gentlemen. I extend a warm welcome to each one of you for today's interactive session on our earnings for the bank's Q3 results, FY22-23. As we step into the new year, the global economy is still grappling with several challenges. World Bank, in its latest Global Economic Prospects report, has revised the earlier projections downwards in global GDP growth rate from 2.9% in 2022 to 1.7% in 2023. The emerging market and the developing economies are also projected to grow at a lower rate as compared to earlier projections, that is, from 3.8% to 2.7%. The Indian economy is not immune to global headwinds but is relatively well-positioned to face the challenges on account of its sound macroeconomic fundamentals and financial system stability. The first advance estimate of GDP growth projection, NSO, has kept India's FY23 real GDP growth rate at 7%, marginally higher than RBI's estimate of 6.8%. Moreover, retail inflation measured by CPI has been contained in December 2022 to one-year low of 5.72%, lower than the upper tolerance limit of RBI of 6% due to falling prices of food and beverages. The Index of Industrial Production, IIP, has risen to five-month high and reached 7.1% in November 2022, with robust growth in the manufacturing sector. The banking industry during 2022-23 witnessed a higher advances growth as compared to deposits. This exhibits increased momentum in business activity, resulting in more demand for credit among different sectors amidst relative illiquidity. Thus, there is a need for more focus on the liability side to fund asset growth momentum on a sustainable basis. We are reinforcing our connect with the deposit clients to improve CASA as well as retail deposits by offering competitive deposit rates. With an eye on increasing NIM and containing cost-to-income ratio, high-yielding advances, that is, RAM segment, continues to be our area of focus, and the share of RAM in total advances is increasing on a continuous basis. In continuation of this strategy, mid-segment advances are being targeted to boost our MSME advances and improve the portfolio yield. Maintenance of asset quality is of paramount importance, which includes SMA management and slippage containment, with continuing measures for improving collection efficiency and NPA recovery. I'm happy to announce that the bank's net profit for Q3 of FY23 stood at 1,151 crore, up by 20% QOQ from Q2 FY23 figure of rupees 960 crore. NIM improved to 3.28% from 3.04% last quarter. NII stood at 5,596 crore, up by 64% YOY. Yield on advances increased by 65 basis points YOY and stood at 7.67%. RAM advances have expanded by 13.24% YOY, and its share increased to 54.14% in the quarter as compared to 53.34% in Q3 of FY22. And CASA percentage has risen to 44.56%. Asset quality further improved with reduction in gross NPA, both amount-wise and percentage-wise. The gross NPA ratio was brought down to 7.66% and net NPA to 1.61%. slippages ratio for Q3 FY23 was restricted to 0.27% as compared to 0.3% in Q2 of FY23. Cost to income ratio also improved to 48.03% from 48.10% in second quarter of this year. Our global advances increased by 16.08% YOY and 11.10% YTD. During current year, with our ongoing initiatives, credit offtake is expected to improve further from current levels. We expect credit growth of 11 to 12% during the current year. Along with increasing size and yield of credit portfolio, managing asset quality is also of significant importance. We expect gross NPA ratio to be contained below 7% and credit cost at less than 1% going forward. We aim to maintain NIM between 3.25 and 3.50%, thus ensuring a sustainable growth in profits. I would again thank you all for your continued support, and the floor is now open for discussion and questions and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Each participant will be allowed to ask three questions. If they have more questions, they are requested to join the question queue again. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Mahrukh Adajania from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good evening. I had a couple of questions, sir. So my first question is on general outlook on margins and loan growth, right? So obviously for us, margins have expanded very well. Even on a very high base last quarter, right? Last quarter there was 50 bips and this quarter also it's around 24 bips rather, QOQ on a sequential basis. So this is a very solid margin expansion. So what happens, say, in 4Q? Do margins come off? They stay at these levels? And then how does FY24 pan out for margins? That's the first question. On margins and, of course, similarly on loan growth, what is the outlook for 4Q? Does it accelerate? Because our quarterly growth rate in advances is somewhat lower than the sector growth rate. And how does loan growth pan out in FY24? So that's my first question, sir. And then I have two more.
Yeah, to answer your first question regarding margin, yes, there has been a perceptible increase in margins, which has come on account of several factors. One factor is, although our credit growth was, you know, little lagging behind the industry average, but we did a lot of churning in our credit portfolio. In that, we continued to focus on our RAM segment, which grew by about 13%, led by retail at 21%, and about 9 to 10% in agri and MSME. Second is our corporate credit growth, which was about 17-18% there. And third, we deliberately refrained from taking low-yielding advances, so that way we did some churning, and we were selective in our asset pickup. So that being the case, and volume growth happening, and also on account of the repricing of assets, it helped us to improve our margin. Yes, there were certain concerns on, cost side also. But as of now, there is not much. Our yield on advances, which has gone up very well, has well compensated whatever hike in cost of deposit has happened. Going forward, regarding sustainability part, yes, there will be some moderation. Some erosion will be there for sure, because as the liabilities get repriced over the next few quarters. But we are confident that we will be able to maintain the NIM in the range of 3 to 3.25%. And for FY24, little tricky at this stage, but I believe if by mid of next financial year, if the rate cycle reverses, it will be little favorable to our cost side, But advance side, we may have to take some hit. But again, that's little far-fetched as of now. Daily market is evolving dynamically. And credit growth, we maintain that 11% to 12% will be the credit growth for this current financial year. And probably around 15% growth, 14% to 15% growth in the next financial year, that is FY23 and 24.
Okay, sir. So, but in the fourth, so basically 3 to 3.25 is the biggest range. So, in the fourth quarter, I mean, how do margins pan out is the key question, right? Do they fall like 5, 7, 8 basis points? Do they stay stable, or do they fall a lot more than that? Because
this is only an estimate based on certain presumptions.
Right.
There are so many factors at work, including the RBI policy rate, the rate reversal, the inflation, so many things. So we are depending on market forces. So given that kind of a situation, and more particularly from the deposit repricing viewpoint, there will be some erosion in the market, but it will be definitely between 3 and 3.25.
Okay, sir. So, and my next question is on the ECL circular that came yesterday. I know it's very early days, but since banks are already filing IFR accounts with RBI, just filing them, would you be able to give a rough sense on what we can expect as the incremental provisioning burden, or if at all there will be any?
As you yourself told, it's rather too early to give any kind of specific number, but only thing I can say that we have been having mock runs in the IFRS mode for the last 2 years, and we are well prepared for it. So that much only for the moment I can say.
Okay, sir. So, and my last question is on state electricity boards. So basically, if state electricity boards have overdues, right, they are 90 plus overdue, then do they become NPL and follow the same regime like other accounts? Does that apply to them, or does it not apply to them, the SEB?
Yeah, state electricity board, for everybody, the accounting rules are same.
Okay. So then they slip, and then they can be upgraded when full dues are repaid.
Full overdue is paid.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashok Ajmera from Ajcon Global Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for giving this opportunity, sir, and compliments to you for the fantastic results. In fact, according to me, the result, the net profit would have been much higher. But for that provision of divergence, remaining amount has been provided for in this one quarter itself instead of 400 and odd crore taking in the next quarter. Sir, what is the reason for that? Are we not sure of a good profit in the fourth quarter also? Or we just want to give a better balance sheet? This is my
The rule, basic rule is, in good times, you do as much as provisioning or create a provision buffer as, you know, possible. We had a good pool of operating profit, and I think that too, for showing another net profit of 450 crore, it doesn't make sense. Rather, we are safeguarding our March balance sheet. It's nothing like that because there are some apprehension, that's why it has been done upfront. As a matter of adequate prudence, it has been done.
Yes.
We were in a position to do that, hence we did it.
No, the point well accepted and well taken. Sir, my next question, or rather some information, is on that, we have been talking for the last 2-3 quarters about co-lending space and pool buying and increasing our book, on that through the NBFCs. What is the progress on that? Because, you know, our advance growth in this quarter is muted, especially, or rather negative, as compared to the last quarter. Can you give some color on that? This is my second question, sir.
Can you elaborate, Ashok ji, how advances growth is negative compared to last quarter? Do you have numbers to support that?
It is muted, sir. It is muted. We are in a low growth trajectory. Yes.
Okay. Things have co-lending. Upar kuch kahiye co-lending?
Yes, sir. We are going well on our plans that we have tied up with two fintech companies, one Credit Avenue, that is UB, and another one Light Fintech. And by end of this month, our integration will be complete with UB, and by February end, it will be complete with Light Fintech. So thereafter, we can go full-fledged because some of the regulatory issues of individual account opening and real-time reconciliation with NBFC books, that was an issue. And this is the issue with most of the banks. So we have tried to settle the issue first and then go in for that.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. My last this thing is, sir, on the asset going to NARCL. Where do we stand there? I think it is not yet started, but the final hurdle of that bank, that government guarantee is cleared now. So in the next coming quarter, how much do we expect to go there from the gross NPA, I mean the asset transfer, and how much approximately yield or the recovery we will get out of it?
Yeah, I'm Anand here. See, as far as our bank is concerned, around 17 accounts are there which have been identified, out of which, you know, one Kolkata-based NBFC already NARCL has given their resolution plan. They are not taking an ARC mode but under an IBC mode. And as of now, they have been declared as a HOD bidder. And going forward, the administrator will place this voting window will be opened and accordingly we will be taking a call. Other than that, for this quarter, we have only one account which is a paper industry, which is one of the very early accounts identified, where the process are very advanced and we expect only this account to go to NARCL during this quarter. The remaining accounts may spill over to Q1.
And in terms of NCLT recoveries during this quarter, we had a recovery of 310 crores, Ashok ji, and to an extent of reduction of NPA to 627 crores. And this quarter, we are planning a reduction of 600 crores in NCLT advances.
Okay, sir. Any color on the Shrey, sir, where the COC meetings are going on? How much is our share and how much do we expect?
Yes, sir. That's what I told just now. Kolkata-based NBFC, I did not take the name. Today also, they are just now a COC meeting has started.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So today, I don't think any final product will be decided because still the advisor left SBA Caps has to place the three plans on a comparative chart. So it may take one or two more days for finalization, and accordingly, then only the voting window will be opened. So our share. So as of now, you know, only the cash component is final. The instruments and the other OCDs, it is yet to be finalized, even though initially that was given. But since the cash portion has gone on upside during the Swiss challenge process, accordingly we expect that the other NCDs and other thing also will have an upside. So we'll come to know only in a day or two what actually will be the figures.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. I'll come back again next time. Thank you,
sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, please press star and one to ask a question. The next question is on the line of Suraj Das from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. The first question is, sir, is there any one-off in the interest income as well as on the staff expenses? The reason I'm asking this question is that it seems that interest from RBI bank balances and others have almost doubled on a QOQ basis. While on the staff expense side, despite this, you know, additional wage provision of 85 crore, it has declined on a QOQ basis. So is there any one-off in these two line items? That is the first question.
First of all, that staff item, that wage revision we have this time first provided. Last quarter we have not provided this because that wage revision will start from November 2022 onwards. So we have provided 85 crore and going on subsequent quarter also we will keep on continue providing the same appropriate basis.
Right, sir. So ideally the staff expense should increase, right, on a quarterly or quarter-on-quarter basis.
Yeah.
Because you have anyway, there is BAU, you know, staff expenses plus you have provided something additional. However, your reporting says that there is QOQ decline on staff expenses. So is there any one-off?
No, there is nothing such.
Okay. And on the interest line item?
Interest line item also, there is no one-off item. It is a regular, as sir said, that because of the growth in the advances and continuous focus on the high-yielding advances and repricing, these are the three factors that have contributed to the increase in the interest income.
Okay. Sir, is there any IT refund in income tax on IT refund or something like that in the interest income?
Yes, that has already been factored.
Okay, so what would be the quantum if, I mean, you can, let us say, give us a rough estimate?
251 crore we have already factored this time.
Okay, okay. And on the staff expense, just to conclude, I mean, what is your expectation on the staff expense going ahead? I mean, do you want it to be something around, you know, at this level only, 1,700 crore roughly? Or
more or less on the same line. And of course, it will slightly go up because our wage revision contribution need to be factored. So, because this time we have factored only for two months. Next time onwards, we need to factor for three months only, in a quarter.
Right. So that would be additional 40 crores on 42 crores.
It would be interest, yes.
Okay. Understood. And sir, the second thing is that is there any lumpy recovery in the NII from any, you know, large chunk of NPAs in this quarter?
In the ensuing quarter, or it is in the present quarter you are asking?
Q3.
In the present quarter, sir, I mean Q3 FY23.
Return of accounts, PW return of accounts, we had a recovery of around 285 crores. You are asking any breakup of that?
Any lumpy recovery, that's what you
asked. It's all regular recovery, sir. We have three schemes going on, our OTS settlement scheme.
That's not part of NII, but it's not. Understood. The second question is on the capital. I mean, it seems that, I mean, you are about to raise, let us say, 1500 crores through via QIP. The question is, sir, what is the need for this capital? Because your CET1 is, you know, is at a comfortable level of 12.7-12.8%. And I think the recent government notification also says that probably PSU entities are also, you know, have the MPS norms at PSU entities have also been relaxed. So just wanted to check, I mean, if my understanding is correct, and I mean, what is the need for this capital raise?
We were at one stage, our CRAR was above 18%. Now, at the end of Q3, it is 15.60. The basic purpose of augmenting capital is to improve our risk appetite. And that is why we have got approved a plan of about 2,500 crore, of which 1,500 we have raised. We are at 15.6. But again, we have to think little forward. If we want to expand our advances base and maybe little low-rated accounts we want to take, that will lead to capital consumption. Plus, any kind of, you know, unexpected or, you know, change in the regulation and all, or in the accounting procedure and all. So always it is better to, you know, create that capital buffer, and, you know, so by that we are expecting at least 17% or 17.5% capital should be good enough for us.
Okay, understood. Last question, sir, is on the, if you can provide data. One is the loan mix by benchmark. What percentage of loans would be EBLR linked? What would be your MCLRs here and fixed and others? And the second data keeping question is, out of the restructured book, if you can say how much is, you know, out of moratorium, what would be the slippages run rate from there, and what is the outstanding NPA?
Yeah, if I can take the second question first. You are aware that RFCRS1 and RFCRS2 are the two things which government had asked us to do, and the regulator also supported. We started off with a disbursement of 7,714 crores RFCRS1, of which we got 4,680 crores closed, and presently 1,172 crores is under NPA. The balance outstanding in RFCRS1 is 1,862 crores, which is all standard. So we don't foresee anything, because there isn't, all the moratorium is over, the repayment has started. We are continuously engaging with these customers, so we don't see any pain. The coming to resolution framework 2, we started off with the disbursement of 11,897 crores and we got 3,771 crores closed. So the NPA there is 6.94% amounting to 826 crores and there 31% of book is still under moratorium. So 69% is out. We are staying closely engaged with them. The level of engagement by way of putting separate restructured cells in each of our 69 zones is paying off. And you can see very well the forward roll of SMA2 is just about 2.49%. So we don't see any pain points there in resolution 2 as well.
Regarding first question, our MCLR link portfolio is 1,72,847 crores and RBLR link is 189,317, rest other rate of interest. So majority is in RBLR linked rate.
Okay, understood. If I can squeeze one more question, I mean, sir, what would be your ECLGS, you know, quantum outstanding and what kind of slippages you have seen from that book?
5,100 odd is the ECLGS outstanding and the NPA percentage there is, I think, 6.29.
Understood, sir. Thanks so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karthik Solanki from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on a good set of numbers. My question was on the lines of capital raising. So what are the future plans of the bank regarding capital raising and its take on what would be the government holding in the coming quarter and the year?
At the moment, the government holding is about 81%. I think someone prior to you asking this capital question also. See, always it is, you know, prudent to have a capital buffer. That is why we are planning to go for a QIP very soon. That is number one. Number two, for the year ending March 23, we will have good amount of retained earnings. So with all those things put in place, I think we should be safely above 17 to 17.5% capital by March 23.
Okay, sir. Okay, my next question was on the lines of retail loan portfolio. So as we have seen in the retail loan portfolio, there has been a tremendous growth in the vehicle loan segment and the personal loan segment of around 40 to 45% year on year. So where does the bank see its vehicle and personal loan segment growing as far as retail loans are considered?
See, retail still, the critical mass is still home loans.
Yes.
The high growth rates you are seeing is mostly on account of, you know, low base there. Vehicle loan hardly from 9,000 to, it has gone up to 13,000 crore and personal from 4,400. So in terms of sheer percentage, they are not very significant. But yes, there has been, you know, quite a lot of focus on the retail pack as such. But we will continue to focus on home loan segment. And personal, a lot of salary accounts we have, but we need to leverage that. We are offering a lot of add-on features also. So I think 21% is a good rate. We would like to further improve it, but primarily driven by home loans. And we have taken also this, you know, partnered with a venture for called CRM Next, where we are targeting the retail leads more effectively these days, with all the field functionaries. So that has also started paying off. We are about, we are allowed to reach out to the customers. I think with that I have answered your question.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ajay Mundra from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, Ajay.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Sir, on this divergence provisioning, right, so now we have already provided entirely on this 1,100 plus odd 1,400 crores of provisioning. And then in notes to account, you know, June 7 circular, we have also provided on a prudent basis to 2000 crore, right, which is on June 7 circular. So would this, so if I were to total these two standard assets provisioning, are they additive? I mean, or this 22,000 crore on June 7 circular is anyway including the 1400 crores of divergence provisioning?
Yeah. Yes, Jay, it is included, and in the notes we have also mentioned the 2075 crore as on 31-12-2022. So it is
right.
as on the figure, as on that figure.
Right. So, sir, is there what could be the timeline for these provisions to unwind? You know, assuming, you know, some of these are, of course, as you made standard assets provisioning, so these are standard assets. So, how, when do they unwind?
Yeah, I'm Anand here. See, as per the 7619 circular, once we have made the provision, we start monitoring the account closely. So, 180 days, it should be out of SMA portfolio completely. Then only we'll be in a position to unwind the provision. So, we have made the provision as on before the Q2. So, two of our accounts have already moved out. We are monitoring, probably in the month of February it may come out. So, all these accounts we are in a close monitoring so that during Q4 and Q1 we will be in a position to unwind a major portion of the provisioning debt.
And one more thing, Mr. Jay, is that these accounts, you know, we are also in touch with other bankers. These, precisely these are standard with ours. But in the system, other banks had it flagged as SMA. That's why we are, our coordination with not only our own branch specific, but we contact with other banks as well to see that the delinquency doesn't happen during this review period.
Right, right. Okay. And second question was, sir, on overseas book, right? So on YOY basis, of course, the growth looks very strong, but on QOQ basis, the overseas book has now become flat or stable QOQ. Is there any, you know, how should one look at the growth in the overseas book, or, you know, whatever the tailwinds were in terms of rates or, you know, corporates taking overseas exposure, has that reduced, or how should one look at the growth in this book?
Sir, Manoj here. We are looking at the, now we are in stabilizing it. So we are looking for a 10 to 12% growth over and whatever we have done. But this outstanding also includes some oil credit funding. And those have been repaid. That's why my core outstanding is increasing. But this oil credit, oil companies, they have paid. This is under the RBI dispensation, so that's why the total is decreasing. But we look forward for 10 to 12% growth on the core business.
Sorry, sir, 10 to 12 is for global business or overseas business also?
Overseas business.
Sorry, sir, I could not hear that.
Overseas business, sir.
Not global.
Okay, and last question, sir, is on DTA. So I think last quarter DTA, sorry, if you can highlight what is the DTA right now, and, you know, if you were to move to the new tax regime by next quarter, FY23, what sort of one-time hit can be expected?
See, Shankar Desai. See, DTA, this 31st December 2022, it is outstanding is around 7,600. Last quarter, it was 8,200. We have reduced from 8,200 to 6,000. Now, our plan is to, next year, we should bring down this DTA component to around 5,000 crore. And once it reaches the benchmark of around 5,000 crore, then with the additional tax burden of around 1,500 crore can come. And that can be offset once last year, next year, if we get the decision regarding the MAT credit, then with the MAT credit, the debit of additional tax burden can offset. That point of time only, we can shift to the new regime.
Right. Right. And okay, sir. Yeah. That, and last question, sir. In your opening remarks, you mentioned credit cost at 1% from here onwards.
Mm-hmm.
Our net NPA is now, you know, 1.6%. So, I mean, the credit cost still on a net NPA base of 1.6%, wherein your new slippages are getting offset by the recovery upgrade. So, I mean, is that just a ballpark number or, you know, just 1% credit?
1% was the worst case scenario. We will
always what could be the likely scenario, sir?
Likely, we have got, I think, to a normal baseline scenario, we will continue to have similar trend as we have been having the first three quarters. That is, slippage of another 1,200 crore and recovery of about 2,500 crore. And our PCR is 90%. So we have enough room there. So basically, we want to make sure that our credit cost doesn't exceed 1% in any case. But we would like to, like previous quarter, we were much lower than 0.93. So we would like to have it within 1%. And that's considered quite prudent.
It just that your some of these standard assets provisioning will not come, right? So when you calculate your credit cost, do you include those standard assets provisioning
all these assumptions or guidances are based on certain assumptions. So, this is as of now. So, maybe depending on the unwinding, as you told earlier, we will have a revisit there. I mean, difficult to predict everything precisely at this point in time. That's what I want to say.
Right, sir. Okay. And sir, if I may ask, do you have, I mean, maybe someone can also answer that 1% ROA, do you think it is, you know, possible in, let's say, 24 or maybe 25, or, you know, that is just an aspiration level as of now?
At 24 March, I think there is a distinct possibility because we have progressively improved, now brought it to 0.57. And I'm sure going forward, because some of the banks, they have declared result and all, they have already gone beyond 1%. So 1% is ideally, but March 23, we may not be able to cross that. But definitely March 24, there will be a possibility.
Understood, sir. Okay. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you. Next question is on the line of Sushil Choksi from Indus Equity Advisors. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on a great set of results and preparing Bank of India ground on a good wicket in your tenure. So,
thank you.
So, you've answered most of the question on ROA, ROE and the margins. So I have to ask you a question, what do you think should be a concern as on today where our balance sheet is concerned?
One concern I would say, which is secularly found out, concern but not insurmountable, is the, you know, deposit part, resources part, which all of us are, you know, quite engaged, and I think before long we will be able to address that. Otherwise, top line, profit and profitability, in all these three aspects, I think we are well on track. If I give you a simple example, I think our operating profit, which is our core income before any kind of provision and all, it has gone up quite substantially. Last entire financial year, we were not even 10,000 crore of operating profit. This time in three quarters, we have crossed 9,200 crore. Plus, of course, the NIA and NIM thing, operating efficiency is there. So the only, I should not say concern, focus area that we are constantly looking at is the resources. We already have a good CASA franchise, 45.56 is fairly good. I think if not the best, one of the best in the, at least amongst the PSBs. So that is the probably only area where we are trying to stay focused. And second, of course, not in business front, but on the IT front, where we were a late starter. Certain projects got delayed and all, but I believe by maybe next 1 or 2 months, we should be able to roll out whatever we had planned about a year and a half back.
Sir, can you answer, as you mentioned about digitization and future enablers being ready in digital platform, what is the cumulative spend done in last 2-3 years to make yourself digital savvy bank starting maybe in next financial year?
Our overall budget envisaged is about 6,000 crore. And
how
to
much
be
spent by now?
Maybe around 1,400.
This year? This year we have already incurred around 820 crore.
820 crore already this year alone has been incurred, and some amount in previous year also. So this is supposed to be staggered over a period of 5 years.
Last year it was
900 crore.
Should we count only 2 years or the 3 years total number you would?
No. I think we have to count forward next 2 to 3 years. Because certain projects are in advanced stage, certain projects have been just initiated.
A similar kind of capex of 800-900 crores run rate should be there for next 3 years?
Yeah.
Sir, yeah, on credit cost and dilution you have highlighted, but is it that now it's not mandated, but you would like to see government holding at 75 was one of the reasons you are looking at QIP as an enabler in maybe next 1 month or 2 months or next quarter?
That is of course one of the objectives. SEBI might have given us a temporary dispensation, but ultimately for the sake of good governance, I think below 75%. And strengthening the board level, governance. So it is always ideal to have it at least to begin with below 75%. That is one of the reasons. But major reason, as I told in the beginning, is to improve our credit appetite and reach out to more number of segments.
Sir, there is any kind of mechanism bank is monitoring on the lost accounts over a period of last 4-5 years? Specifically in your RAM segment or small manufacturing concerns or traders, which was big foray of Bank of India in the prior 2 decades. And we are trying to garner that back?
Yeah.
Absolutely, sir. The pain in the small segment, our focus were till now below 10 lakh category. We have reached to them those loss assets and recovery happening in those segments. For this, what we have done is
probably he is asking about accounts which we have lost in the last 3-4 years. Many customers have left us. What is our approach to regain those customers? Yes.
In terms of deposit, I can tell you that there is a complete list of clients who have lost from us, and we have now asked the branches as well as the zonal office and from head office also to coordinate with those segment of people who have went out of us, and probably a lot of good digitization things happening, we are bringing them into our fold. In credit also, probably there is a set of accounts which we know that takeovers happen. We are again, by way of digital means, we are engaging with them to see that they are coming back into our fold.
I'll add to what Mr. Karthikan has told Sushilji. We are pretty much conscious, and that way we have shared the strategies with our field functionaries. We have started this each one reach one, each one bring one. That means list of customers who have left us. And we see good results at the beginning, like me or our EDs, they go to field. A lot of outreach programs happen. I have known so many customers who left us, they are coming back to our fold. So that way we are trying to bring back those customers.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavik Shah from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thanks for the opportunity. Congrats on very good set of numbers.
Thank you.
Sir, I was looking at your provisioning schedule. So, standard assets provisioning has been around 806 crores this quarter. And I understand this includes the divergence related provision of 976 crores. So, what would be the difference between like 170 crores? Have we seen some write-backs?
No, this is net position. As you know, below the line, these provisions, whatever we do, they get netted out. So otherwise, the divergence itself was about 940 crore. So the overall standard provision cannot be 800 crore. There have been write-backs in varied accounts. That is the net figure is 800 odd, what has been given there. Right,
Shankar? Write-backs
Yeah, this write back was because there was one previously restructured account that now restructured account has come back. So that provision has also come back because it was a standard provision. So it has also been deducted in the standard provision category. That's how this write back has happened.
Okay. Understood, sir. So that is very clear. And sir, so I see your other operating expenses have gone up quite sharply. It was around 1200 crores last quarter and now it is 1600 crores. As in, is it to do with the IT spend or is there anything else which is moving this number?
Only revenue part of IT expenses will be featuring in the other operating expenses. Whereas other components are, you know, of establishment and other rent access and other things. So there is some increase there, but again we are trying to, we have set a target of 10% decrease by March in controllable expenses. Basically with your rent access, lighting, postage, telegraph and other stuff. So yes, there is slight increase there, but again, you know, we have expanded branches also. We have also, you know, added a lot of thing to our IT thing. So that is why the revenue component also is featuring there.
Okay. So I mean, going forward, sir, as an annual run rate, would it be around 5,500 crores or less?
Which one?
The other operating expense.
Shankar,
other operating expenses, this time almost 10% hike is there. So going forward on the same line, it will continue. Because expenses is a thing which definitely we need to control. But like staff cost, like establishment, fixed cost, that that will continue. So 10% hike is, I think, is relatively okay.
Okay. Understood, sir. And sir, one last question, sir. Sir, what would be your liquidity coverage ratio this quarter?
Yeah. Liquidity coverage is LCR, you mean to say?
Yeah.
164.
Okay, sir. So broadly, it's stable quarter on quarter?
Yeah.
So quarter on quarter, is it stable or it has...
Yeah, stable. Last quarter, slightly it was higher side. Now it is almost in the stable level.
Okay. So thanks a lot, sir. So
thank you.
All the best for future.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that would be our last question for today. I would like to hand the conference over to Sri A.K. Das for closing comments. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Yeah, I thank on behalf of Bank of India and all my colleagues who all are present here. Sincere thanks to the analyst fraternity for their guidance, for their queries, a lot of good suggestions, incisive, you know, analysis. And I hope all your questions have been answered. In case any one of you feel that still some questions need to be answered, kindly get in touch with the finance department. We'll be glad to respond to your queries. Thank you once again.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Bank of India, I announce that this conference is now concluded. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.